Be cool, because now you see I have my own microphone. So you know what the bad news was, that we don't have any coffee, right? The good news is you'll be able to sit through the sermon. And what about that incense, huh? You know, it'll keep the bugs away. All right. I'll be here all day. No. All right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and for your word. We thank you for laughter, and we thank you that you love us. And we ask that you would open our hearts and minds now. In Jesus' name, amen. You, one thing, if this is going to be our thing, you'll probably need a little Velcro because it's going to stay. No. So, for the future. So, sorry, I don't know what came over me. All right. So, going to jump right into it here. You know, recently we've been talking a lot in the sermons, or I hope you've been able to hear kind of a theme going on in them about the message of taking what we have here outside of these walls, okay? God has spoken to us that it's time to start sharing the great worship and fellowship that we have here with other people, okay? We're called to take the message and the Spirit of God out. All right. Got that down, right?
Amen.
Clear. So, put another way, we're supposed to let the Spirit out. So, you know, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Holy Spirit is on you. But he lets you have control. And in this way, you can actually contain the Holy Spirit. Well, now it's time to let him loose in your lives, not just here, but outside. Time to share the gospel with others, okay? Well, you know, we've been through this before. We've heard all this before. We've kind of done all this before. We did, you know, this Luke 10:1 project where we went out in West Asheville and we knocked on a lot of doors. And you all know a lot of ways to share the gospel with people. But as I was going through this and thinking about it, you know, you probably need a little bit of kind of direction or oomph, you know, instead of just saying, go, you know. Because then you're going to say, well, where do I start? Kind of like that. And as leaders of the church, we have this kind of feeling of responsibility of trying to direct you in some way or other. Whether you want it or not. No, I'm just kidding. So, I wanted to give you some practical ideas about how to do this, okay? I wanted to put together sort of the instructional sermon. I don't know which one that is. This is the instructional sermon, and you could take notes if you wanted. I don't know if anybody of you can. I would have done a PowerPoint, but I know you don't really care about PowerPoint, so I didn't do one. But where do I start? That's kind of the thing that, you know, we want to think about as we start planning this, or at least you start going out and doing it. Well, the very first thing to do is to pray. Ah, prayer. What do you know? Pray. In the morning. All right? Now, maybe you do morning prayer. Maybe you don't. But if you don't, you should. And one of the first things that you should pray as a part of that prayer is, God, let me talk to someone today about you. Ask him. Okay? Now you can word it differently if you want to. You can say, give me an opening, or make it clear, or keep me spiritually attuned, or whatever you works best for you, you know. But in some way, you need to ask God to open a door for you at some point during your day. Okay? And you repeat this every morning until you have results. Then you repeat it even more after that. Okay? Because you will eventually get results, okay? So that's the very first thing. You have to pray first to ask him to open a door for you. If you do this, you're putting God first in the equation, okay? You are basically asking God to direct you, to let him use you, which is what we want, okay? You are asking and going, therefore, in God's power, not your own. And this is definitely your best chance for success. So your very first thing that you have to do is ask God to set up a time that I might be able to talk to somebody about you. So that's number one. Number two is, as you go through the day, you've heard this word before, you need to be intentional about what you do. Okay? You go with the expectation, or with the intention, of starting a conversation about God with somebody. Now, this can happen, I put into two basic categories, okay? Chance encounters, okay, and planned outings. Okay, chance encounters, all right, the first thing is, suppose you're checking out at the grocery and the attendant sneezes, you know, checking out your grocery, and you say, bless you. And if you get a favorable response, you know, not always you do these days, but if you get a favorable response, you can ask, well, don't you feel well? I'm sorry, you know. And you might start that way a short conversation. Well, yeah, I've got this cold thing going on. And this culminates then in you being able to say, can I pray for you? Exactly. And they'll say, what? Right here, right now? Yes, right here, right now. Only takes a second. And you can do that. And therefore, you can test out the healing power of Jesus. Because something might happen. You may be surprised. In fact, it has happened to people in the past. And so this first part of this intentionality is to be prepared and alert to these chance encounters that would happen throughout your day, where someone may be willing to share with you just some little thing, some little part of how their life is going or what they're doing that allows you possibly to offer to pray for them. So this is a chance encounter that we have every day. How many do you think we've missed over the years? Yeah. The second thing you can do in your intentional day is you can plan outings. Plan to do this? Oh. You could perhaps take a like-minded friend, somebody you know that you want to go out with, want to be with, a spouse, a family member, or just a friend, and decide to go somewhere where you're going to meet people. This is intentional, you understand, okay? You could go to the mall as well. You could go to the soup kitchen, like you said. You know, you could just sit down at the food court at the mall, sit on a bench. Or you could sit in those vibrating recliners that they have, you know, which are really great. If you do that, make sure you take plenty of, you know, coins with you, you know. Hi, want to hear about Jesus? No. Maybe you don't want to do that. I don't know. But somebody may sit down next to you, you know? And if they do, you might be able to strike up a conversation. Boy, these things really work, don't they? But if it's not the mall, you know, it could be at the soup kitchen. The soup kitchen is a proven and guaranteed place to talk to people about Jesus, okay? It could be Pritchard Park. Times we've been down there, you know, you might sit on a bench. Probably somebody's going to sit down next to you there. And you'll probably be able to strike up a conversation there. Or you go to the bus station downtown. Those folks are not always particularly happy, and so it's a good place for you to go. You could go to Grove Arcade. Or as one of our pillars brought up, you could go to a bar. Right. Okay, I didn't hear anything there. So, you see, people are gathering there to meet and talk to people. Yeah, it makes some sense. Now, here's the thing, and this is the proviso if you decide to do that, okay? If you decide to go to a bar or someplace similar like that, before you go, you must make certain, I mean absolutely certain, that you understand your temptations and limitations before you go. And that you take a friend with you who will say, it's time to go, if needed. Okay? That's the thing. Be careful. All right? Well, other planned activities may involve the church. And we may, and I'm threatening you with this, you know, plan an event somewhere where you're going to have to participate out there in the world, you know. We've done it before. We may do it again. You know, things like doing a service on Roger McGuire Park or perhaps a picnic or you already heard about the soup kitchen, a perfect place for you to go and test this out in a very safe and effective environment. The Lord also may give you a desire to volunteer somewhere else, another Christian ministry, ABCCM, the Rescue Mission, Pregnancy Support Services. They're always looking for volunteers, and you will always be put in proximity with people who need to hear your message. So there's a great opportunity for you there. So you start to get the picture. You see what I'm talking about here. In step one, you pray for God to open a door for you during the day. Obviously, you should pray as the encounters start to begin to happen so that Jesus will give you the words to say too. Yes. In step two, you're intentional about doing this. You're going out there with the intention of sharing the gospel. Okay? You plan something. You allow the chance encounters to happen, but you also plan something. Maybe it's just once a month. Maybe you're just going to go out and try it one time with a friend. Because you remember, you always go out in twos when you do it in this way. Okay. Number three, so those are our first two things. Number three, when you plan these encounters or you recognize one of those chance encounters, you know, the next thing you have to do is you have to open your mouth. Talk to someone. You have to actually speak real words. So, words. You know, naturally, the first words out of your mouth may not be, are you saved, or do you know where you're going when you die? You might want to start simpler than that. You know, things like, nice weather, isn't it? You have a lovely family, you know? These are those little openers that may allow somebody to say, yeah, thank you very much. And then there's an opportunity. The conversation needs to progress naturally. Okay? Naturally, without trying to put any specific twist on it, you know? And don't use any specific accent. Use your own voice. I tell you about Jesus? No, sorry. Okay, at this point, you're actually in a waiting phase. Okay? You're waiting for the door that we talked about to open. Because you're not the one that opens it. God is. And it might come, but it might not. And you're in this waiting phase as you have this casual conversation with somebody, okay? Now, this could be somebody that you already know or have known for a while. Could be like a coworker or something like that. And you may know something about their life or some stressful situation going on. You can ask, how's that thing going with your daughter, you know, or your husband or whatever? And, you know, this may open the conversation to something a little more deep. And you might be able at that point to offer, can I pray for you? You know, in my time at Three Streams, I don't think I ever had anyone decline the offer to pray for them. Even the Satanist didn't, okay? Self-proclaimed Satanist with all this stuff on her, you know, and she would, I would say, you know, I'm going to pray for you, and she'd say, I'm praying for you, too. I wasn't scared. Okay, so you got to open your mouth and talk, you know. You can't just sit there and wait for something to happen. You may have to say words, okay? Once you've started that and you have something going on, the very next, you've actually maybe opened the door perhaps at this point, like we talked about, well, now it's time for you to close your mouth and let them talk, okay? Let the other person talk. Listen to them. Okay? Listen to their concerns. The idea of this is that we have to develop a little trust with them. Okay? The best way you can do that is to be an active listener. All right? This person needs to know that you're caring about them. You're not just trying to put a notch in your Bible. And this might take time, you understand. Okay? At some point, you can make brief comments that demonstrate to them that you understand that you heard what they were saying. Okay? You can make eye contact sometimes, but not all the time, you see? Some people may be more comfortable talking to you by looking off into the distance. That's all right. You go with what they feel like, okay? Don't make them uncomfortable in that, basically, is what I'm saying. And as you're listening, you're also listening to the Holy Spirit. You're listening to the Holy Spirit, and who may possibly share with you a word of knowledge about that person or some piece of wisdom that this person could need. And he's going to give you the time and the opportunity to share that. If this happens, then the Spirit can minister powerfully to this person. You share this word of knowledge, it can sometimes instantly destroy all of the barriers, all of the walls that they've put up. The word that they put up for the world, this brave face, you understand? And if that happens, let the Spirit work and just hang on for the ride, okay? This can happen to all of you. So, step four, you've prayed for the open door, and after you've gone into your day with the intent of encountering people, someone to talk to about Jesus, after you've started the conversation, you've stopped talking and started listening to the other person, listening to the Holy Spirit, those are the four steps, okay? And then the Holy Spirit will take you through this and show you what to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do because there's not a formula, there's not a pattern, there's not a way that you go through it. You just started a conversation in the Spirit. And you understand these things that I'm telling you are somewhat simplified, okay? I'm not simplifying them because of you, I'm simplifying them because of me, okay? I have to have them understandable in some way or other. And as you go through this process, you understand this could happen. It could take place in 5 minutes, or it could take place in 5 years. It could take that long with somebody, an acquaintance or a friend of yours. It might take 5 years for you to get to that place where you say, well, let me pray for you now. Okay? Or it could take 5 minutes. You understand? I'm not in charge of that. God is. He'll tell you. And then step five, fifth step, and this is not the last thing you need, you understand, but is the ultimate thing that you need in this process. This is the heart of Jesus. I'm going to tell you a few painful truths about evangelism, okay? So I ran three streams for 12 years. I took care of a lot of hurting people, took care of a lot of people who didn't have much money, weren't able to get much health care. And through those years, I saw, good things happen. And I also saw people who abused the system. I saw people who didn't want to change. I saw people who wanted to just get the low-cost health care, whether they really needed it or not. And I saw people who wouldn't do the things that I encouraged them to do to help themselves in their health. And it was very frustrating at times. And through that 12 years and being that symbol that I felt like I was of Christ in front of these people, do you see any of them that came to church here? Well, I don't. Now, we had some that came through and came and go. That's true. But you start to think, what was all that for? Why did I do that? And your heart starts to become callous and a little bit hard. And sometimes I'm not sure that I want to talk to people about Jesus. I'm tired of trying. I've been asking God now for at least 2 years, maybe three, I don't know. Give me your heart for humankind, for people who are lost and hurting. See, when I travel the roads and I hear what's going on in the news or read about another random shooting or murder, I'm not sure I want to do any more sharing. The heart of Jesus is a heart that is broken for people. I don't always have it. These are the painful truths. This is painful to me. I don't see a whole lot of positives as I drive down the road. I think of people dependent on their technology, gluttonous in their habits, self-centered in the extreme. Now, on the other side, you understand that when I meet people face-to-face, when they come into the clinic and I actually get to meet them, I like them. I really like people, one-on-one, face-to-face. I like meeting people in my work and helping them feel better. It's only occasional there that I run across somebody who misbehaves. It's not the individual faces I see, you understand? It's humankind that I have a problem with. And this is hard for me to reconcile. And it is sometimes, imagine, we're talking about all this going out, right? It's hard to get motivated about rushing out in an evangelical fervor, at least for me. Why would I want to go and knock myself out for people who don't want to be helped, who don't want to hear the message, who just want to take and take and take, who don't care about God? I mean, they've had plenty of opportunity to hear the gospel by now, right? It's on cable TV. It's on the internet. It's on the radio. You can find it easy out there if you're looking. If they haven't heard it by now, it's not my fault. You ever had thoughts like these? You can tell I have. Problem is, I'm not supposed to judge people. The Romans passage today, 8:34, says, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. He's not even condemning them. What right do I have?" You see, it's not my call. It's God's. My work is just to try. I'm not to judge people or humankind even. I'm a messenger. God may choose to tell someone he loves them through the radio or a contemporary Christian song or the ETWN network or you. It's not up to you. It's up to him. Also, I'm a sinner. No better than the people that I see out there. None different between us. What right do I have? See, if you don't have a heart that breaks for people who are lost and dying without Jesus, then you need to pray. We need to pray that God would convict us of this sin, not loving our neighbors as ourselves. And ask him to give us his heart for people. In Roman Catholicism, the devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is a very big movement started around the 12th century. It grew out of a revelation a nun had when she asked Jesus to take away her heart and give her his heart. He did. And I've been praying this same thing off and on. For 2 to 3 years, 4 years, asking God to show me people the way he sees them, not the way I see them. But you understand, as you think about that process, you have to understand that to receive the heart of Jesus is to receive a broken heart, a heart that's been pierced by the very ones he loves. It's to receive a heart of infinite pain, but also infinite love and mercy. You know, when you try to talk to people about Jesus and you get rejected when the door slams shut, they aren't rejecting you. They're rejecting the one who sent you. When I pray for his heart for people, I find I really can love individuals when I see them. I come into my clinic, I just love people. But then it falls away. I have to pray it again. And you may have to ask this every day of your life. Because you see, people are still going to be people. Humankind is still humankind. They aren't going to change without you and without God. At first, he may have to change you and me. See, at the beginning, I gave you a whole bunch of specific ways of sharing the love of Christ with people, okay? You start out praying for a door to be opened. You go into your day with the intent of talking about Jesus with someone. You start an encounter by speaking. You continue it by listening. And all that is worthless if you don't have a heart for lost and hurting people. What kind of message can you give when your heart is hard? See, his love is for all humanity. All humanity. His love is absolute. There are no qualifications, no conditions. Sometimes we have trouble with that. His heart was wounded. His heart was pierced by those who crucified him. In other words, his love was rejected. And it said in the gospel you heard today, Matthew 13, "This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." They aren't being thrown into the blazing furnace because he's mean or angry. It's because they reject his love. They reject the hand that pulls them out of the furnace. You don't want anyone to be thrown into the furnace, do you? Do you really think about that? And if you're not sure, the idea of going out and sharing the gospel, of being a witness for Christ, makes you uncomfortable, you need to pray for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You need to pray for Jesus to melt your hardened heart and show you people the way He sees them. Now, I don't go in for all the parts of the devotion of the Sacred Heart. You know, it's turned into this big thing, you know, how the Catholic Church can be sometimes. But there are a few poignant promises that Jesus made to this nun back when she received His heart. One promise was that sinners shall find in My heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. The source and infinite ocean of mercy. That sounds absolute and all-encompassing to me. His mercy. Another promise was this: tepid souls shall become fervent. And fervent souls shall rise speedily to great perfection. And then this one: I will give the priest the power to touch the most hardened hearts. So out of all of this, started out as an instructional sermon and then I tricked you, didn't I? I would like to invite you, no, I challenge you to ask Jesus to take your heart out and replace it with His pierced, sacred heart. For the benefit of poor sinners out there, during the Eucharist today, after you receive communion, if you'll remain kneeling at the rail, I'll come around and anoint you to receive His sacred heart for others. You don't have to get up. You can just stay right there and I'll be right behind the chalice bearer. One of those promises is that tepid souls shall become fervent. Another is that I will give priests the power to touch the most hardened hearts. Well, I believe we already have that power. If the idea of sharing the gospel with people makes you uncomfortable or you have doubts about the species called human, then stay after you receive Christ's body and blood and receive His heart as well. Amen.